This is Quiet Fire, a program about the spiritual life of Abraham Lincoln and its relevance to us today. Welcome. This is Duncan Newcomer. Here's the Lincoln quote for you. Exposure to bad weather, which my experience clearly proves to be very severe on defective nerves. This in a letter from Lincoln to his best friend, Joshua Speed, trying to help his friend out of a deep depression. Twice in his life, bad weather had preceded deep depressions in Lincoln. A cold August rain on his first love's grave, and a bitter winter at New Year's of 1841. Lincoln knew all about Shakespeare's words, "the winter of our discontent." In fact, as president, he once tried to coach a famous Shakespearean actor into exactly how to deliver the line from Richard III, "Now is the winter of our discontent, made glorious summer by this son of York." He knew, as we may, how the winter of discontent falls heavily upon a kingdom ruled by a man who, in Shakespeare's words, quote, "cannot prove to be a lover, and so is determined to prove to be a villain." That was the dark vision Lincoln saw in Shakespeare's Bad King Richard, and he also felt how winter could really stir a deep discontent in humankind, because it certainly had in him. One of the great achievements of Lincoln's spiritual life is the way he converted his melancholy nature into wisdom and his depressions into strengths. Spiritually, we can see Lincoln as more than a person with a psychological condition called depression. We cannot really separate his soulful melancholy from his heart and soul, his compassion and his wisdom. But he also did have several severe depressive episodes. The worst was in January of 1841. January 1st of that year was referred to, as he wrote in his letters, as, quote-unquote, "that fatal day." What was so fatal about it, we don't know. What we do know is that his biggest career mistake was about to catch up with him. He had led the Illinois state legislature into a huge internal improvement project, and then the bottom fell out of the economy. And so, on January 1st of 1841, the first $175,000 of the state's debt interest was due. We also know that Lincoln's real best friend, Joshua Speed, the man he had lived with for years, was moving back to his plantation in Kentucky to get married. And we know that Lincoln had, to say the least, made a proper mess of his own love life, seeming to make false promises of marriage to Mary Todd, perhaps even falling in love right then and there with another woman. And then bad weather always reminded him of the death of Anne Rutledge, his first love. Rain on her grave nearly drove him mad. And the weather that January of 41 was turning really bad. But mounting difficulties need not break a person's spirit nor drive them crazy. In fact, in a few years, we see Lincoln handling huge mountains of difficulty as he led the nation in war. It is, in fact, often a little thing that sends a person's mental mood down, the straw that breaks the camel's back. Lincoln himself wrote, as we read, that exposure to bad weather had proved by his experience to be very severe on defective nerves. Lincoln certainly had come to feel that he had defective nerves, what he would call his hypos, a 19th century term for low moods and debilitating feelings. January 1st of 1841 meant that it was the end of a leap year, and in Victorian America, New Year's of his day was a bigger holiday than it is now. Dickens' Christmas Carol was 2 years away from being published. So at the end of a leap year, New Year's had a lot at stake. The tradition was that on that day, a man was supposed to have finally declared his intention for betrothal, that is, to pop the marriage question. women formed clubs to enforce that custom. And Lincoln totally botched this with some pretty odd details to that story. Despite the monumental snows and ice across the prairies of Illinois in that year, Lincoln emerged from his bed and began to stir in late January. He acted a bit more, writing letters, but his mood was no better. In fact, he writes, quote, "I must die or be better, it appears to me. For if what I feel were equally distributed to the whole human family, there would not be one cheerful face on earth. To remain as I am is impossible." By spring, he took a journey downriver to his friend's plantation in Kentucky, and there one of the most significant events of his life took place. A vivid encounter with a chain gang of slaves, all strung together, he notes, like fish on a string. And there his compassion and his passion for the suffering of others is so aroused that he is never the same. What we see spiritually is that his own suffering allows him now to see the suffering of these slaves. He is puzzled by their ability to find any joy in their own company, and he is solidified in his own hatred of slavery. He begins to ask the theological question, why is this slavery even happening? And his eventual answer is that the offense is against God. Slaves are not to blame. The national sin is to blame. And as he eventually says, we, even we here, hold the power and bear the responsibility to change that. Remarkably, he says that we will assure freedom for ourselves as we give freedom to the slaves. This is his spiritual conclusion, and it is a darkness to light that can also lead us, no matter what the weather, in such honor down to the latest generation. This is Duncan Newcomer, and this has been Quiet Fire, the spiritual life of Abraham Lincoln.